Amen. Well, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark. We'll be looking at a passage in chapter 1 this evening together. If you're using your pew Bibles, it should be on page 837. We are incredibly grateful. For these last 3 years, I said I wasn't going to do this. For these last 3 years of being in your midst, of being at Ballantyne Presbyterian Church, being loved by you all, by your patience and kindness towards us, by hearing lots of bad sermons, the youth putting up with lots of lessons that go way too long, it's been a joy to be here, and we are deeply, deeply thankful. We'll miss you all. Very deeply. Well, let's turn our attention to God's Word. This is a text that has ties to our series we're going through in the evenings that Dr. Nance is doing through Leviticus. Has ties that we'll see as we go through. It also has, I think, ties to our Sunday morning series as Dr. Nance is preaching through John. This is actually one of the few episodes that appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but it does not appear in John. So we're going to complement our reading and study of John with this passage tonight of Jesus cleansing this leper. It's a beautiful picture of what Jesus came to do and how that affects you and me. I feel like every time I preach, I walk away and the passage becomes my favorite passage in the world. And tonight is no different. So I'm excited that we can read this and study this text together. So before we do that, let us go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Spirit of God, we ask that you would indeed descend upon our hearts, that we might see the beauty of our blessed Savior Jesus tonight, as this word points us to him, strengthen us and grow us in our faith, in our love, and our hope. As the psalmist said, you visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it. We ask that you would do that in our souls tonight. For the sake of Christ, in his name we pray. Amen. Hear now God's word from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. And a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God, the living and true God, stands forever. Well, it was just at the beginning of the school year, in the school term in January, a town 50 miles north of Houston, Texas. A 5-year-old Priscilla walked into her kindergarten classroom. Today was different from the other days, previous semester. As she walked in the room, her classmates began laughing, chuckling under their breath. They began looking at each other, whispering in each other's ears. And then one finally blurted out, "She looks like a boy." Well, it's true, her mother had cut her hair the evening before, and maybe she did cut it too shortly. But the class began making fun of her, began not letting her play with them on the playground. Class pushed her aside, and she didn't perform as well in class. She couldn't pay attention. It really affected her and bothered her. She was being bullied by her whole class because of her hair. This went on for a couple of weeks until something happened. It was pretty amazing. One day, the teacher walked in the room. She stood in front of the classroom. And the teacher, who had previously had long hair flowing down to her waist, That day showed up with hair matching Priscilla's. She stood up in front of the class and said, "Doesn't my hair look beautiful?" Of course, the kids can't say no. They agree with the teacher, and immediately Priscilla's welcomed back into the community of this kindergarten classroom. This teacher comes down to her level, kind of identifies with this kindergartner, so she won't be bullied. The teacher even brings matching hair bows, and they wear matching hair bows every day in class, welcoming this little child who's been pushed to the outside. We love stories like this. We love the compassion. We love this turn of events. It's a little tiny glimpse of, I think, the compassion we see here in our passage tonight with Christ. The compassion that he has on the outcast. Tonight we see it on a leper. We're going to see as we work through this text, I think that Jesus, because he compassionately cleanses us from sin, we can cry out for mercy. We can eagerly spread the news of his grace. So we're going to walk through three sections of this passage. The first one being the leper's cry. The second, the Lord's compassion. And third, the liberated call. So let's look at the leper and his cry. The leper's cry. The passage in verse 40 begins, "And the leper." This character comes on the scene. And in our minds, a leper is somebody who has some kind of skin disease. Maybe you think of Hansen's disease in your mind, some kind of awful skin formation, deformation, some problem there. And that's right. Leprosy includes that, but leprosy includes all kinds of other skin diseases at this time as well. You go back to Leviticus 13, you'll read about all kinds of different leprosy diseases that were around this time. Some of them were more severe than others. Some of them were lifelong. Some of them were temporary. Very much depended on the case by case what leprosy actually means. So we don't know precisely what this leprosy was. But in the mind of a first century Jew at the time Jesus lived, so those who first read Mark's gospel, those who were there watching this event, they would have heard leper. And they wouldn't have thought, oh, you know, this person has some physical ailment. It wouldn't have been like blindness, or it wouldn't have been like lame legs or couldn't walk. It's not that kind of thing. They would have first thought, this person is unclean. There's something about leprosy, according to the Old Testament law, that made this person unclean. Being blind, you weren't unclean according to the ceremonial law. Having lame legs, you weren't unclean, but having leprosy put you in a different category altogether. You were ceremonially unclean. What this meant for the leper is that they had to live outside of the city. This leper was not allowed to live inside the city. He was not allowed to have a family, couldn't have children, couldn't have a job. This leper couldn't worship in the synagogues, couldn't sing with God's people, couldn't hear God's word read. He was cast outside the camp. He had to live on his own. Nobody could be with him. He had to cut his robe so that people knew he was unclean. He had to wear a mustache to signify to people that he is unclean. As people would approach him, he would have to say, "Unclean, unclean," to give them warning. "Don't come near me, because if somebody touches this unclean leper, they themselves become unclean." They have to go through a purification rite. So it was severe, not just because of the physical ailments of leprosy, but because of what it does to you with regard to the people of Israel. You are no longer a part of the community. You are outcast. You are living on your own in the wilderness. As Dr. Nance has been working through Leviticus, we see these various categories of uncleanness. And we say, what does this mean? What is the point? And Dr. Nance has done a wonderful job expounding this and showing us that the ceremonial uncleanness is intended to be a picture to us of what sin looks like, of what it looks like to be morally unclean, what our hearts look like when we are dead in sin. That's what the picture is of this ceremonial uncleanness. Now, it doesn't mean the leper himself is a sinner. It doesn't mean he's sinful or morally unclean, but it's a picture of moral uncleanness. As people are walking in and out of the city, they see the leper living out in the wilderness. They remember, that's what sin does. That's what I am apart from the atoning work of God's Messiah. It's a visible reminder constantly of what it means to be a part of God's people, to be clean, to be purged, and in the midst of God's people worshiping God. It's a picture of sin, being morally unclean. So we have this leper who walks on the scene. And he does something pretty incredible that would be looked down upon by those who were with Jesus. He actually comes and approaches Jesus. So imagine the scene, the people around Jesus flocking to him. And then here comes this leper, probably yelling unclean, unclean, as he's supposed to, according to Old Testament law. And he's coming up and you see the crowds parting. The leper's coming to Jesus. And see what the text says. He comes to him, comes to Jesus, and he implores him. He kneels on the ground. Matthew, who has a parallel account to this, uses the word for worship. This leper comes and he worships Jesus. He falls down before him on his knees. We see in verse 28 of Mark chapter 1 that the fame of Jesus had spread everywhere throughout all the region of Galilee. Galilee is the northern region of Israel. And this whole region, Jesus was going around preaching from town to town. And while he was there, he was casting out demons and performing some miracles. And apparently the word had spread enough that this leper had heard about what Jesus was doing. It's likely that the leper had asked doctors to try to come heal him. He's probably followed all the old wives' tales about how to, you know, clean your skin, and none of this is working. He says, there's one that I know can heal me, one that can cleanse me, and that's this Jesus. I'm going to go to him. He falls down on his feet, on his knees. He falls down and worships him and says, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, this isn't will in a future tense. This is will if you desire to, if you put your mind to it, if you want to do this. It's amazing. The leper is submitting himself to the will of Christ, submitting himself to God's will in all this. He doesn't come saying, look, I really need to be cleansed. He doesn't say, look how good of a guy I am. Look how I actually follow God's law. So heal me. He submits himself to God. If you will. If you will, it's a picture of humility and submission, not presumption, and worshiping Christ. It says, if you will, you can make me clean. What faith is this? He trusts Christ wholly and entirely. He knows there's nothing else that can make him clean. He says, you can make me clean. Falling down before him. This is the unclean, the ceremonially unclean leper who wants to be ceremonially clean, who can come back into the people of God, who can worship God in his courts. It's also the picture of what a sinner ought to do. Of one who is in sin, one who is apart from Christ. Be like this leper and come to Jesus. He is the only one who can make you clean. He is the only one who can heal you from your sin. The only one who can pull it from you because he has taken it upon himself. This is the call to come to Jesus as the leper did. If you will, you can make me clean. Well, the crowds are now standing around saying, what is our rabbi going to do? This is an amazing moment. What is he going to do? This leper who's unclean comes up to their rabbi. The rabbi really should leave. Say, man, follow the law. Stay away from me. I'm a rabbi. I'm a teacher. Well, our second point is the Lord's compassion. The Lord's compassion. What is his response to this? It's astounding in the eyes of all those who are watching. It's astounding to the Jewish readers who first read Mark's gospel. It says in verse 41, moved with pity. Moved with pity. Jesus saw this man and had pity upon him. Now, pity, I don't love that word. It sounds like, oh, poor little guy. I feel badly for this man. He is a leper. Oh, poor guy. It's not really the sense of the word. The word has a sense of being moved on in his internal parts, moved in his very soul. Later on in Mark, it's the same word is used again, and it's translated there as compassion. Jesus saw the people wandering, coming to him, not sure why they were coming, maybe coming for food, coming to see a spectacle. And Mark says Jesus had compassion upon these people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It's the same compassion Jesus has here on this unclean man. The man who has no plea before Jesus, but a plea for mercy and grace. Moved with compassion in his soul for this man. And then he does something unthinkable. Moved with pity, what does he do? First, he stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus doesn't need to touch somebody to heal them. But Jesus touches this man. He identifies himself with this unclean leper. Remember, the law of Leviticus says if you touch something unclean, you yourself become ceremonially unclean. And again, it's not sinful to be ceremonially unclean. After giving birth, women were unclean for a period of time. If a man helped move a dead body or put it in the tomb, he was unclean for a period of time. So there are normal things in life that rendered one ceremonially unclean. It's not sinful. It is a reminder of what it looks like to be full of sin. So Jesus touches this man. And here we see the great exchange, a picture of this great exchange. Because what happens in this moment is that the unclean leper, at that moment, immediately becomes clean. And from that touching, Jesus, the only pure, spotless Lamb of God who is clean, becomes ceremonially unclean. Imagine a rabbi doing this. Imagine Jesus Christ doing this, touching this unclean man and exchanging his cleanness for the man's uncleanness. Stepping in his place, if you will, to become unclean, that this leper might become clean. One of the highlights of the Jewish calendar year was the Day of Atonement. And on this day, every year, the high priest would offer atoning sacrifices for all of the people of Israel. It's a big to-do for Israel. And kind of culminating all of it, the pinnacle of it, is the high priest representing the sins of all of Israel. They would find a perfect goat, a spotless goat, and the high priest would lay his hand upon this goat. And in laying the hand upon the goat, there's a symbolic transfer of sin. All of the sins of Israel go upon this goat at this moment. And the goat is then driven away, driven out into the wilderness, never to be seen again. The sins of Israel go upon this goat. They're transferred symbolically out into the wilderness. There's something like that going on here with the laying on of hands. The transfer of Christ's purity to this man. The transfer of the man's uncleanness to Christ. So he touches him. And then Jesus says, I will be clean. Again, this is, I desire. I want to do this. It is my will that you be clean. And immediately, the man is clean. We see a Jesus who is willing to save. A Jesus who is willing to receive us before His throne. See a Jesus who does not turn any away. We see a Jesus who says, come to me all ye who are weary and heavy laden and I will give you rest. This Jesus doesn't turn us away. He receives us into His arms. He wills it. That we would come to Him. You will not be turned away. Coming to Christ in this way as the leper. Coming, saying, I have no plea but you, O Christ. Receive me. He will receive you. So this man, in this moment, Jesus touches him. Jesus says, I will be clean. This man is immediately made clean. The leprosy's gone in an instant. And this man's life now is totally changed. A life of being an outcast, a life where you are not allowed to have friends, a life where you have to kill what you eat out in the wilderness. It's now a life where he can be with God's people. He can have a family. He can have a job. He can have a trade. He can have descendants. This man's life radically changed in this moment. This was a monumental occasion for this man. His life was marked by this moment. Before, he was dead as an outcast. Now he is alive as a member of the assembly of God. Jesus doesn't finish there, though. Jesus commands him later on down in verse 44. He says, "Go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." That doesn't really make any sense to us unless we know our Old Testament, unless you have been here on Sunday nights and listened to the sermons in Leviticus, because you will remember, I'm sure, from Leviticus 14, what you must do to finalize the process. Once you're healed of your leprosy, there's a ceremonial process to go through to be rendered unclean. For that proclamation, you are unclean. And so Jesus is telling this man, you still need to go to the temple. You still need to go and go through the process. And it's a pretty elaborate process. And again, all of these symbols and signs and practices were pointing them ahead to their need for the greater sacrifice. Part of this was they had to offer a sacrifice for the cleansed leper. And to go to the priest, bring an animal for a sacrifice. What's really interesting, though, is the priest then would take some of the blood from that sacrifice and put it on the cleansed leper's right earlobe, right thumb, and right big toe. It's kind of weird. And then he would go even further. He would get some oil, sprinkle it on the man's head, and put the oil on his right earlobe, his right thumb, and his right big toe. Jesus is telling this man, this is what you need to go do. Put some blood and oil on your ear and your thumb and your toe. What in the world is this? But again, we see the beautiful picture of embedded in the Old Testament law as a pointing forward to the blood of Christ. Because this man, to become unclean, needs the blood of Jesus to truly become morally unclean. These ceremonies were pointing to our need for a Savior. The externals and the ceremonies were pointing us to our internal need to be cleansed by blood. We cleanse by the once and all for all sacrifice of Christ that we read about in Matthew 27. This blood of these animals points to the blood of Christ. And then the oil in the Old Testament. The oil in the Old Testament typically reminds us and points us to the Holy Spirit. And this is fascinating because we see embedded in the Old Testament law the Trinity right there at work. Because we need the blood of the Son of God sealed and applied to us by the working of the Holy Spirit that we might be brought to the Father. Brought to the Father by the Son through the Spirit. It's all here in the Old Testament. It's amazing. And Jesus is pulling this out for the leper and showing him what you ultimately need is not just a physical cleansing. What you ultimately need is not a ceremonial cleansing. What you ultimately need is a cleansing of your heart by my blood and by the working of the Spirit in your life. That's what we need, friends. We need the compassion of Christ who set us free from sin, who rid us of the stain and the guilt of it, who by the power of His Spirit will draw us and bring us to the Father. What a compassionate Lord we serve. We have the leper's cry, the Lord's compassion. And finally, we come to the liberated call. The story would be great if it ended there. But Mark shows us another dimension of what's going on in this story. Verse 44 and 45, we see that Jesus says to the cleansed leper, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Say nothing to anyone. Jesus says, don't tell people about what's going on here. That's kind of strange, is it not? Why would Jesus not want people to know about his work that he's doing? And I think there's a couple of reasons why Jesus might be saying this. One, we see throughout Mark, Jesus says elsewhere, "My time has not yet come." Jesus is waiting for that moment of coming to Jerusalem to finally be revealed as the King, as the Savior of Israel. And he knows that time is not yet ready. He knows people in his ministry it's not yet time to fully be revealed. So Jesus says, my time is not yet here. Don't tell people. But also Jesus knows if people hear about episodes like this, they're going to begin flocking to him for all the wrong reasons. They're going to want to come to see some dazzling display of supernatural power. They're going to come to be entertained. They don't have Netflix, so let's go see this guy walking through the wilderness who's doing some cool things. Jesus doesn't want people to come for the wrong reasons. And yet this man, despite the direct command of Jesus himself, this man disobeys. Verse 45, he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news. I mean, in one sense, can you really blame the guy? Yeah, it was wrong to disobey Jesus. Can you really blame him? This man who had no life, who lived in the wilderness among the wild animals, now he could go in the city. He now could have friends. Can you not blame him that his life has totally changed and he wants to tell people about it? I mean, I'm going to tell people about it when Erica has a baby on the way. I want to tell people about it when my team wins the World Series, right? We want to tell people about it when these things happen in our lives. This man wants to tell people about it when his life is radically changed. Those of us who may have been Christians for a while, it's easy to forget what it means to be a Christian. We become so accustomed to it. It becomes so normalized and we forget what life is like apart from Christ. And man, can we not tell people about it? No. It should be rattling off our tongue. It should be the theme of our life. Naturally, overflowing, after experientially understanding this grace, tell others about it. The passage ends in an interesting place. So Jesus' concerns about people knowing appears to be founded because people start flocking to him. I see at the end of verse 45. People were flocking to him. Jesus could no longer openly enter a town but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. Jesus is now unable to enter the city. Jesus is now in the desolate places, in the wilderness. See another element of this great exchange going on here. Not only was cleanness exchanged for uncleanness, but we also have a geographic exchange where we have the leper who was relegated to the wilderness, now being cleansed, can live among the people of God. We have Jesus who was teaching city to city, village to village, who is now relegated to the wilderness. And remember, with the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement, the wilderness symbolizes the place of death, curse, and destruction. Of course, Jesus is the one who goes to that place for us, on our behalf. He is the one who was placed upon that cross outside the city gates. He is the one who was nailed to the cross. Those five bleeding wounds that he bears, received there on Calvary. But those wounds, those are the effectual prayers on our behalf, that we might be reconciled to God. Jesus goes to the wilderness that we might have communion with God. Jesus goes to the cross for our sins. Jesus takes the punishment. Jesus takes the curse that we can be brought to the Father. This miracle is not about one leper. It's not about just this man. This is a symbol. It's showing us something even greater going on. There's a cosmic scope of this miracle that we see. Jesus is demonstrating for us the leprosy of sin that renders us morally unclean, that renders us strangers from God, unable to be among the people of God. This leprosy of sin, he has come to cleanse. He has come to cleanse us from our uncleanness. He became unclean that we might be clean. He was cast out that we might draw near. He died that we might live. The great exchange. The great exchange that Jesus has given us the perfect righteousness of God, and He received every punishment, every curse that we deserve before an almighty, powerful, and holy God, that we might be brought to the Father. Have you ever experienced true compassion? We cry out for it. We want to be understood. We want to be loved. We want to experience compassion. Jesus demonstrates for us the supreme compassion in this parabolic miracle, pointing us to Himself, the one who would cleanse us, the one who shows us the greatest compassion in the world, that we would be saved. Would you plead with Jesus like that leper did? Come to Him. Fall down on your knees. Say, cleanse me, O Jesus. Make me clean. Purge me of my sin. Make me like yourself. And He will do it. He will. He will make you unclean. Come to Christ in faith. So will you, now changed, going out into the world, reflect this. Reflect this grace and mercy and compassion to the world around you. One, showing compassion to others. Showing compassion to that outcast. The person who doesn't have the friends. The person who is rendered unclean by our society. Will you show them the compassion of Christ? And ultimately show them the compassion of Christ by saying, look what He has done. Look what He does for sinners. Look how He has redeemed sinners. Come to Him in faith. The leper's cry, the Lord's compassion, and the liberated call. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let us come to Him on this very day. For the glory of our great God and for our good, let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we come to You only because we have been purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our plea before You. He is the one that we owe all the glory and praise and power. We thank You that He does rule us as our King. We look to Him as our Savior. Oh, Lord, help us to do this. Grow us in our faith. May we be more like Him and see Him as He is. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
You are a compassionate Savior. We thank You, Lord Christ, that You became the leper for us on the cross of Calvary, that You might pray for us.